Let's change up. Talk a little college football. We're joined right now by a very good friend of this program. He is also a national college football writer for CBSSports.com. Another busy weekend nationally. Dennis Dodd is my guest. Dennis, great to have you back. How are you?
Dim, I am great. The flung poo drop will never get old. I'm still laughing.
Good. Love it. Love it. Love hearing you say that. All right. Why don't we start first with Ohio State and Penn State. Dennis, what did you think as the fourth quarter of that game was unfolding?
Well, how about with 8 minutes left and Penn State leads by 12 in front of one of the most loudest atmospheres in college football, the whiteout at night, Beaver Stadium. And they blow the lead. Not only that, the play call at the end, Jim, on fourth and five is something that I think will haunt Penn State, if not for this year, for years, because they lost that game and did not put the ball into the hands of Trace McSorley. They've got the hope that Ohio State loses twice in the conference, and they went out to have a chance, even at the division. It's inexplicable, that play call at the end.
All right, so that's a strong statement right there that not only is the play call inexplicable, but that could come back to haunt them for a long, long time, maybe even years. So, Dennis, if you're James Franklin, how do you go about trying to make sure that it does not derail the rest of this season? What do you tell your team?
He's one of the best coaches in the country, and I think he already kind of owned up to it and fell on the grenade and took blame and everything else. So that's done with. Trace McSorley is, I compare him to like a Johnny Manziel type, and I mean in play only, that even he doesn't know what he's going to do sometimes when plays start. And that's what I think makes him so great, a Heisman candidate. He had one of the best games of his career Saturday, almost 400 yards in total offense. So you got to ride him. They've got everything they had last year to me. I mean, that the defensive line for long stretches of that game dominated Ohio State's offensive line. Miles Sanders is a pretty good impersonation of Saquon Barkley. Juwan Johnson is an elite receiver. I think you just got to keep playing and hope. And it's not in their hands anymore. They don't control it. I think they're a top 10 team still. So they'll just have to play on.
Dennis Dodd, national college football writer for CBSSports.com, is my guest. So what about Ohio State? What does the road look like for them the rest of the way?
It looks pretty good. Obviously, they've got Michigan, and I think they're better than Michigan. They're still going to have to play Michigan State inside that tough Big Ten East division. But I think it was a real show of, intestinal fortitude Saturday. Like I said, that offensive line was being dominated. Dwayne Haskins wasn't playing well. They were getting to him, and they just persisted, Jim. Dwayne Haskins is a kid. I did a story last week. There are people that follow the team that think he's like the best guy ever to spin the ball back there as a quarterback. I mean, he's a pro prospect. He's going to be a one and done. He's three years out of high school. So as much bad publicity as Urban Meyer has brought to the program, it's about the kids, and they're fantastic. They're clearly the best team in the Big Ten, and probably the second-best team in the country right now.
We're talking to Dennis Dodd. I'll get to the best team in the country in a minute, but I want to ask you about the other primetime matchup on Saturday, Stanford at Notre Dame. I did have Brian Kelly on the show last week, and we talked about his decision, Dennis, to go with Ian Book at quarterback before the Wake Forest game. How different is Notre Dame's offense with Book at quarterback?
Totally. I was at the opener against Michigan, and Brandon Wimbush was like, oh, okay, he's become a better passer. He has 12 out of 22 for 170, and they ran him 19 times for 59 yards against a pretty good defense. But Ian Book, Jim, didn't even play in the first two games. What is Brian Kelly missing? And I guess it's not worth talking about anymore because he's going to be the starter, even though Brian Kelly won't admit it. But this guy's a great thrower. He had four touchdown passes against Stanford. His presence literally makes them a playoff, I guess, conversation piece to a playoff contender. And they get Dexter Williams back, who's their best back, with Jafar Armstrong out with the injury, with the knee infection. And that's all they needed because the defense was a given. The defense can play with anybody in the country. But if they have balance on offense with Ian Book flinging around like he does, look, it's in their hands. They go undefeated, they're in. It's going to be like 2012.
I think they look playoff good. I think they look great.
Yep.
What about Clemson? Now, they dealt with the story of Trevor Lawrence. name, starting quarterback, and Kelly Bryant announcing that he would transfer. Then Lawrence gets knocked out of the game, Dennis, which is exactly the nightmare scenario that you had predicted as a possibility. Listen, good news is they didn't quit. They found a way to win. But having said that, how big of a concern is the quarterback position right now for Clemson?
I think it's huge. Unless we get some definition, until we get definition on Trevor Lawrence's injury situation, I don't think they're a playoff team, because I think Dabo said yesterday it's quote-unquote up in the air about his availability for Wake Forest. You know, okay, so that's 1 week. What about the next week? Because you're not going to win with a former scout team quarterback. Great job by Chase Bryce. He went 3 for 5 for 51 yards in the fourth quarter when the game was on the line. That was great. He ran three times for 25 yards. But I think this is the long play for Dabo. He knew exactly what he was doing when he made this a battle between Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence. This is the long play. If the worst-case scenario, which is now, Kelly Bryant leaves, you've still got Trevor Lawrence for 3 years trying to slay the Giants, and that's Alabama. That's their competition right now. They're not going to win a national championship again until they beat Alabama again. I think we know that. So it was better put Trevor Lawrence in there. He earned it as a starter and maybe lose Kelly Bryant, but have him for 3 years firing rockets at Alabama and everybody else than having Kelly Bryant there. So he knew what he was getting into.
We're talking to Dennis Dodd for a few more moments. All right, so in terms of Alabama, Dennis, they're winning their games by an average of nearly 6 touchdowns every Saturday. It would appear that it is Alabama and everybody else, but let me put it to you another way. When you look at what Tua is doing at quarterback, how does this Alabama team compare to the best Nick Saban teams?
I think it's, that conversation has surfaced, that this is the best Nick Saban team. It's trending towards one of the best in Alabama history if they keep winning like they did, and I'll give you one stat which proves that. Through 5 games, Jim, they scored 271 points. That's more than 67 Alabama teams scored in the entire season. So that's pretty good. I think the biggest story with Alabama is that under the radar, they've become a passing team. They become a really good passing team. That doesn't mean they're throwing it 50 times a game. It means they're not trying to establish the run first. They've got a very deep backfield where no one's probably going to get 100 yards per game. That's okay. But with Tua and now with Jalen Hurts, they have the deepest quarterback room in the country. With Mike Locksley, the offensive coordinator, a guy who's come out of nowhere from his time at New Mexico, as offensive coordinator, they're doing great things. And Tua's just an elite talent. I mean, he's the number one player in the country probably right now. And I don't see anybody slowing them down. Now, November 3rd at LSU with that defense, that's going to be a problem. But I still think they've got enough players to make plays. Remember, a couple of years ago, Jalen Hurts went in there and they won 10-0. Could be one of those deals.
All right, so last thought, let me ask you about one more elite talent. Kyler Murray threw for 432 yards, 6 touchdowns, ran for 45 yards, and another TD in that win over Baylor. You raised the question that not long ago would have seemed just crazy, Dennis, but is there an argument that Murray might be as good or even better than Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, I think that's a discussion right now. And, I think that is a discussion to be had. He's a little bit of a different player. He's not going to be as accurate as Baker Mayfield, but his athleticism is better. And he seems to make really good decisions, whether running or being in the pocket or throwing on the run. He doesn't turn it over much. The concern with Oklahoma, Jim, ultimately, is if they get to the goal they want to go to the playoff again, is that defense. They gave up 33 points to Baylor. They're 91st in the country in defense. We saw how they lost the Georgia game. I mean, I'm just cutting to the chase for early January or December. This defense has to get better. And if it doesn't, it's going to end disappointingly like it did last year.
He is a national college football writer for CBSSports.com, a very good friend of the program, Dennis Dodd, breaking down another busy weekend of college football. Dennis, great job. Good to have you back. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks so much, Jim.
Have a great day. Dennis, thank you. Always good to talk to you. Always look forward to it.